Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 550. Science Faction, God hates koalas.
You sound like you're the what's the name of that church that protested? They would
Westboro Baptist.
Yeah, you're like the Westboro Baptist, but of koalas. Like you protest koala funerals. Like after that, those wildfires destroyed tons of koala life in Australia. You were like boycotting the mass graves. Like God hates koalas.
Little known fact: the Westboro Baptist Church for koalas is actually wombats.
It'd be even better if, like, that was you protesting Australian deaths. Like just, that's what you thought Australians were?
Yes. No, well, most people don't realize how religious wombats are.
Well, first off, they prayed for square poop, and they got it. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sure they prayed for square poop, and they got it, the bogus.
And that just shows how dumb Australians are, because we all know the poop is cubed.
By the way, Bobby, fun fact, I looked up, because, you know, in Australia, they have white trash as well. Some would argue that...
Bogans.
Yeah, bogans. That is the name. That is the name for their white trash. They don't have hillbillies. They have bogans.
That's because I feel like most of Australia doesn't have hills, so that they couldn't... Like, hillbilly wouldn't make sense. So I don't know what the fuck bogan is short for.
Yeah, here's the... You know, it's probably some slang like, you know, what is dongarongabo? That's just what they call a fork, by the way. I say that with no knowledge whatsoever. Like somehow like the bogan somehow intimidates me more. Maybe it's because I'm like building up a legend in my mind than the American hillbilly. And they don't have guns. Like that's saying something. I feel like the Australian dude just punched me for an imagined crime.
As we've talked about on the show, what they do have that make, I think this is what scares you about them because it makes them extra white trash, is there are a lot more different make and model versions of the El Camino type truck car that are they're called Utes over there and everybody has them. And any place where like 60% of the population drives an El Camino, there's some fucking bad shit going on.
Is it a gas mileage thing? Like, is it like back in the day of carburetors was like that cheaper than the Ford Ranger? Like what?
And they don't get that great of gas mileage. Like, buy a fucking truck or buy a car. Make your fucking mind up.
I'd like to compromise the bogan.
Oh, and speaking of the bogan of this show, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great. I am the bohemian of the show. I'm wearing a tie-dye skirt right now. The audience can't see it, but pretty bohemian.
Yeah. Oh, dear. And guess what, Damian? We got something special going on, which is that I think this has only happened one other time in the 7 years we have done this podcast that we have had a guest comedian on. One other time, I think other comedian Dave Callens took your spot one time, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. Other than that, it has always been Damian, never been a guest comedian. But Damian, as we talked about earlier, got married recently. And so he has to go and have contractual marital relations with his wife at some point. And you're going to go do that on a honeymoon and you're going to be missing next week.
That is correct. And you're right. I only missed one episode and that was because I had to get an adult circumcision. Fun procedure. And truth be told, this whole honeymoon thing's actually kind of a front. I'm actually getting the procedure, my circumcision from a few years back where Dave Callens had to fill in for me. I'm getting that reversed.
Yes. Yes. Well, and what you didn't tell the audience at the time is that instead of a traditional circumcision, you were actually already circumcised. You end up getting a circumcision of the balls.
Yeah, that's how it was sold to me. It turns out it's actually a completely different procedure.
No more wrinkles.
I wish. I feel like they added wrinkles and removed testicles.
If you get really stressed out, you get more ball wrinkles.
I will say, though, that these nudicles they gave me are pretty choice. People look at me and they're like, wow, that dude has brass balls because they weigh super low. Jesus Christ, are they brass nudicles?
So I looked around to try and find the best comedy guest host that we could have to fill into Damien's spot.
I know, it's kind of hard to find somebody who can do this kind of nudicle talk on the fly, Bobby.
Well, we are getting somebody who has a lot of podcast reps, which is Miss Paige Wesley, the star and creator of Cult Podcast, a podcast that is way more popular than our own. She will be our guest host next week. I'm so excited about that. Paige is awesome. If you guys don't listen to Cult Podcast, go ahead and check that out. It is gigantic and really, really good, really, really funny. I appreciate it because unlike a lot of other comedians who decide to start their own podcasts, Cult Podcast actually does a fuck ton of research for every single one of their episodes, so you learn a lot when you listen to them.
This isn't our first joint venture. You were on a series of episodes for them. And by the way, I sing the praises of the Cult Podcast. That is, if you like Last Podcast on the Left, I dare say it is a funnier version of that show. Yeah. Their hosts are Paige, Armando, everybody. Super sharp. And again, like they do a Bobby level of research before each episode. They know their shit. And we just did a crossover episode on Awful Neutral, super sharp. I don't want to leave to go get... it's because it's not my foreskin. That foreskin's gone. They're going to attach another person's foreskin, probably a donor.
Oh, really?
And that's just because it's Lauren's thing. Lauren is just huge into circumcision. I don't know if she's anti-Semitic. I don't know. Either way, if I was to leave, I were to leave my co-host chair in somebody's hands, I'm glad it's Paige. If anything, I'm worried that she'll get too comfortable and I won't be able to get the job back because I'm not qualified.
Thankfully, Paige does like 1,000 podcasts, and so she doesn't have time to do this on the reg. So your job is safe only because of that, because I would replace you in a second. She's so much more fucking talented.
Well, Bobby, you're going to have to really wow her because she just played Dungeons and Dragons with us for the first time and we knocked her socks off. You're going to have to show her that your side of nerddom is better than my side.
I don't have to show her anything. That's fucking evident. All right.
Roll deception check.
And if you guys want to find our other episode of I Call BS, there is an extra episode every single week that those of you who are on the free feed do not get. That is only available on our Patreon. You can search Patreon under Robert Timothy for that. It is our I Call BS episode where we have a shit ton of fun. And I'll tell you, you know, you might think, man, there's been a lot of sack talk already in the first 5 minutes of this episode. You wouldn't believe what we get away with on the private feed where we don't have to worry about, you know, all the angry fan emails.
We actually talk about that circumcision more in detail. I do an AMA where I'm just, hey, ask me anything. What's it like to be 30 years old and get a circumcision? And I just, I'll relive it. I scream. I actually have PTSD from the episode. I go back to, because I didn't have health insurance at the time. I had the VA.
Yeah.
And they do not sedate you to remove a foreskin.
They don't even use like a scalpel. It's one of those like cigar cutters that they just pull you through and just.
And that's, you know, I've heard stories of like they'll have like the if they're out of the cigar cutters, they'll just have like guys who are quitting smoking or anything, like at the old vets who are quitting drinking or smoking and just are at the AA meetings just looking for something to gnaw on. They'll just gnaw that foreskin right off for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a natural, it's holistic.
Oh, man, that's good foreskin talk. All right, guys, let's get right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
Take that, Star Talk. Your foreskin talk is B- at best.
Oh, dear. Article number one, God hates koalas.
And like our Bogan fans, like, what is he talking about? As he's sitting in an outhouse and he grabs a koala and uses his toilet paper. There you go.
So this is something that I did not know before we did this show. This is one of those lines of research that many, many, many scientific stories, not just one, have taught me over the past 7 years of doing this show, which is that...
I'm down with Sigmund Freud's lines of research that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I have a drug problem.
Which is that koalas are kind of the animal kingdom's version of Job from the Bible. Like, it was as if God was like, how much shit can I do to one stupid animal? And he picked the koala to be like the vessel for his hate.
And we say that because on that same continent, the Tasmanian devil has a face cancer that is out of a horror
That's
movie.
True.
But even so, the koala is the one who spited God.
Yeah, so let's go through kind of the koala's detriments, so to speak. Number one, they are terribly dumb. And we have talked about this a few times on this show. They are so dumb, it's impressive. Now, this is due to the fact that they don't have the same type of brain we do. Remember, koalas are a marsupial. They are a somewhat ancient form of mammal that branched off from the rest of us a long time ago.
You've actually talked about the marsupial. We've had episodes where you've explained to me how, like, the marsupial is like an old shitty, like, it's like when you see a marsupial running around mammals, it's like seeing somebody driving a Model T around, like, on the freeway. You're like, how is this thing street legal?
Yeah, yeah. You're like, wow, that old timer really spends a lot of time keeping that koala running well.
Is Jay Leno driving that koala?
So koalas are dumb as fuck, and this is due to the fact that they have a simple brain. It doesn't have the wrinkles that we have. You know, if you think of a brain, picture a brain in your head, you'll picture this thing with all of these wrinkles, like Damien's previous sack before the circumcision.
So these koalas have nudicles in their skull?
It's a weird smooth brain thingy, and they don't have all of those wrinkles that not only we have, but other animals have. And the reason we have those is because you can fit a larger surface area brain in the same size skull. It's like taking a newspaper, think of a big flat newspaper, and crumpling it up. You can crumple it up into a ball. Those are the kind of wrinkles, whereas theirs is just like the size of the outside of a basketball.
And let me just say, my wife and I have been packing for this reverse circumcision procedure, and she is not buying this argument. She's like, Damien, you need to pack. You can't just wad up a bunch of clothes and throw them in the suitcase. That doesn't work. I'm like, I am increasing surface area within the suitcase. You and your stupid koala brain. And then immediately it becomes an incident, a big fight. The police are called. And then we all consider, is it even worth the reverse circumcision?
I want my wrinkles back. They're so dumb that they only eat one thing, eucalyptus. That's it. That's the only thing they can survive on, is this one type of eucalyptus leaf. That's it. And if you take this one thing, which is the only thing that they eat, and you remove it from a tree and you put it on a plate in front of them, they don't know what it is, and they will starve to death before they eat it. So once again, only eat one food. That is it. The only food in the world that they eat. And if you simply remove it from its current location and put it on a horizontal surface, they are so dumb as to be confused as to what it is and will stare at that food that they could eat and starve to death.
Isn't the food that they chose a lot like the panda? It's just a shitty food source that they chose anyway.
It
like
is.
It's poisonous.
Yeah.
It requires
it is.
Extra energy to break down. It is not filled with energy at all.
No, which is one of the reasons they also, another shitty part of their life, is they have to sleep like 20 some odd hours a day, which you might be like, oh, that sounds nice. No, it's not. Not in the wild. You know what that means? It's like every time you close your eyes, you're like, well, I'm just hoping for an entire day a predator does not find my unconscious body.
I mean, aside from gators, which I imagine you can outclimb as a koala, what are the what are the predators you got to look out for in Australia, besides bogans?
Yeah, back in the day, they...
Bogans hunted for toilet paper.
They had thylacine, the Tasmanian tiger. Then obviously there are dingoes and, you know, things like that. Now there are invasive house cats, dogs. Domestic dogs end up fucking them up a lot. Back in the day, it was more of an issue. They've always slept that much. And so it's always been an issue, even when there were, like, decent predators in Australia. But basically...
Do they taste bad?
They're barely alive. Like, they're alive for 2.5 hours a day, and even then they barely move and they're dumb as fuck.
I mean, honestly, do they taste, like, do they somehow have feces in their meat? Like, what keeps me from hearing about barbecued koala?
Damien, we're going to talk about koala feces in a little bit. Don't worry.
Please.
They're incredibly slow, so they're not getting away from you too much. So again, they're kind of like just out there on the menu. Also, as proof that God hates them, the wildfires in Australia last year killed a gigantic number of them and displaced even more of them. There is also, and we've covered this on Science Faction, a raging, and I mean raging, chlamydia problem in koalas, with many of the wild populations having 100% infection rates. Like, this is like Miami level chlamydia outbreak.
I know a lot of you want to go out and blaming us bogans, but we didn't regret nothing. So yeah, it's our fault, but we'd do it again. We'd gladly give them herpes.
Well, and the chlamydia usually, like, it makes them blind or sterile and sometimes kills them. But here's the best part. So koalas, the adults, they get chlamydia like we do from having sex.
Oh, they get it from poor choices made on a Saturday night, just like we do?
They get it from the exact way Damien gets it, having sex with a female koala.
So yes, poor choices on the Saturday night. Oh man, I can't believe I banged that koala. Man, my wife is going to be so pissed. I came home smelling like eucalyptus again. She's going to divorce me.
Oh no, am I a bogan?
Oh, crocky.
But the kids also get the chlamydia, and they get it from eating a quote-unquote nutritious feces that the mother puts out for the child. So in fact, it is kind of, it's normal for koala babies to be like, yay, mom is shitting, time to eat.
Yeah, my mom was a shitty cook too. So I mean,
are you getting the picture yet of an animal that has been cursed by God to live the worst life of anything on earth?
Yeah, no wonder I'm loving eucalyptus. I grew up eating feces. Like, anything that's not feces, I'm jumping at.
And by the way, when we try and treat that chlamydia, because again, some groups have it. Almost 100% of their groups have chlamydia. It's by the way, it's devastating. It's like destroying their population. We can fucking joke all we want, but it is actually horrible for them.
They got that from humans, right? Like, that's not something native to koala species. Like, somebody fucked a koala, and that's...
No, they did not get it from humans.
No matter how many times I tried.
Because, you know, chlamydia, it's just a bacterial infection, and so when humans get chlamydia, you get antibiotics. When we try and give the koalas antibiotics for the chlamydia, oftentimes it causes even more problems, because, as Damien mentioned before, their one source of food, eucalyptus leaves, also happens to be poisonous, but they have special bacteria in their gut that break down the poisons. And so when we give them antibiotics, it kills the gut, and then the only food they can eat becomes very poisonous to them.
So instead of like secreting milk, like a lot of mammals do to feed their young, this was like, no, I'm secreting something else. So if we wanted to feed this animal, we'd have to get like an older surrogate koala to poop in its mouth till the bacteria could come back.
Now, it is a mammal, so they still do feed their young milk, but there's poo involved as well.
Oh, well, then it's really no different from the way my mom raised me. I was like about to say, no milk? Just poo? Mama Bacardo was incontinent. It was not intentional. It just dripped out of her.
Yeah, and you were basically the 1980s version of a Roomba. So you were just just cleaning up as she was walking around.
You were at my house in high school. You've slipped. You've fallen over like Dick Van Dyke falling over an ottoman. Just some slop feces on our hardwood floors. Paige Wesley, going to be a co-host coming up next week.
And as if all of that wasn't enough, they also get a shit ton of cancer. So koalas are also incredibly cancer prone. And so researchers were looking into this and wondering, I wonder if there's a reason that koalas get all these cancers. Now, we have known also, as one of God's other jokes on them, that koalas have a specific retrovirus that is very common among their populations. Real quick background, we've talked about retroviruses before. HIV is a retrovirus.
Can you describe a retrovirus to me?
Yeah, it's like think of a virus, but with like bell bottoms and way too... Yeah, he's showing a lot of chest hair.
That's what I like about koalas. I stay a retrovirus, and that's the only thing that I'm programmed to infect. All right.
I stay a retrovirus, and they keep dying of cancer.
Some middle-aged Tasmanian devil walked by me, and I was like, uh-uh. I'm looking at that sweet eucalyptus-eating thing right there. All right.
So retroviruses actually work by inserting themselves into the DNA of their hosts, and they can get basically into, especially if they get in germlines, like we think is what happened with this particular retrovirus in koalas, they get passed on and they get incredibly prevalent. So basically they find a way to get your genetic copying mechanism to copy them in order to survive. And so we have remnants of retroviruses in our own DNA that our ancestors had millions of years ago that are now inactive, but we still carry them around because they're essentially, they've been cut and pasted into our own DNA. It's one of the ways horizontal gene transfer happens in large animals, the ones that are bigger than bacteria and protozoans, that it happens in nature. You know, that's one of the reasons that things, when people talk about like, oh no, we might be modifying the genome of human beings. It's like, motherfucker, that's been going on since life itself, because viruses do that to us all the time.
What if I wanted to defrag this hard drive that I call my genome? I just get rid of all those useless, you know, files that are just taking up space. All that junk DNA, quote unquote.
That's a lot. Yeah, it'd be a lot. It'd be most of the genome. And you'd need like a real good CRISPR lab. Like, we're not capable of doing that, anything like that yet.
And again, I've talked about this before. I kind of want to get rid of all that useless junk weight DNA. Like, for example, if most of the building block of you is useless, not useless. We don't know that. But essentially, right. We can't. It's just sitting there adding mass, adding weight to me. Like, I weigh 260 pounds, Bobby. I for my own health, I got to drop something.
I don't think the DNA segments are really what's weighing you down. That is a tiny percentage of the overall mass of a cell.
But like a billion times, Bobby, a billion of anything.
Okay, fair enough. So the koalas have this retrovirus that's in their population called the koala retrovirus, which is abbreviated like capital K, lowercase o, capital R, capital V, which reminds me too much of the old spelling of the band Korn. So every time I see it, like I think of a bunch of heavy metal dudes from the late 90s.
I'm picturing a bunch of koalas wearing JNCO jeans right now.
man, you know, a lot of people talk shit about those koalas, but they had a few real rockers in there.
Yeah, bang. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the problem wasn't necessarily the core of a virus. It was the people who followed the core of a virus that gave the core of a virus a bad name.
Yeah, like, if you're alone in your car, you can bob your head along to a CORV song, but you don't really want to do it when you're on a date. That's a real bad look.
Yeah, I will never, I lost my virginity to All Day I Dream of Eucalyptus.
It's actually the same song. It's All Day I Dream About Sex, parentheses, and giving you chlamydia while I do it.
And eating my mom's poop.
Actually, you know what? Koala version of corn, worse than regular corn.
You know what? Retract everything we said. It was a bad argument.
So they started looking and to see if this retrovirus had anything to do with all the koala cancers, because koalas have insane rates of things like leukemia and other cancers. And in doing it, they found that indeed where the retrovirus was inserting itself was in places that, because of the way that insertion was going, would indeed make it more likely to develop cancers. And so basically, yes, that solved the problem of, does this retrovirus make it so that koalas have cancer more often? Absolutely it does. But they actually found one step further that was super interesting. So in one specific koala, they found something that was like terrifying, which was that in this one specific koala, there was a copy of this retrovirus that had taken or picked up an entire cancer-related gene from one koala's genome, meaning like, here is a mutation that causes cancer in this koala. This retrovirus happened to grab that mutation, incorporate it into its own genetic structure. Then the secondary koala got infected by it. And in this case, this gene almost certainly caused this koala directly to get cancer. Now, this is a whole nother ballgame. A retrovirus infecting you in specific parts of your genome that make it more likely to get cancer, because let's say it cuts out a cancer-stopping mechanism or a mechanism that stops out of control cell growth. That's one thing where it makes you more likely to get cancer. In this case, in this one specific koala, it actually looks like the gene for cancer was inside this retrovirus. This koala got infected and then got cancer because this virus literally gave it to them.
Oh my God. The cancer's coming from inside the house.
Yeah, it's coming from inside the koala. And this is crazy because, you know, there's a certain thing. There's like HPV, right? We're used to HPV here as human beings, where if you get HPV,
we call the Bogan flu.
Yeah, you might end up getting cervical cancer. In fact, almost all cervical cancer, is all cervical cancer that we can tell, comes from HPV. But certainly most people who have HPV don't get cervical cancer, because HPV is almost ubiquitous. It's like 80, 90% of sexually active adults have it. So if everybody who got it ended up getting cervical cancer, every woman you know would have cervical cancer. So that's not the case. It does increase your risk of cervical cancer, and it makes cervical cancer possible where it isn't otherwise possible, but it doesn't mean you're sure to get it. If they are right about this particular one, basically, this is almost like we talked about with the devils. This is almost a version of contagious cancer. This is a virus that directly causes this koala to have cancer. And if other koalas got this virus, they too would, without a doubt, also develop cancer. So this is really crazy, because this is a specific mutation of this one particular CORV. Now, this version was only found in one koala. We haven't seen this elsewhere. But this one koala got cancer directly from that virus.
Jesus, what did the marsupials of Australia do to God? That or somebody protect the wallaby?
Seriously?
Any animal known for Australia or that comes to mind if we were playing Family Feud and I said name animals in Australia, anything on that list needs to watch its back.
Dude, I don't know what it is about koalas. It's like a long time ago, koalas lost a bet, or like it was one of those things where God was really drunk. And actually, God's ex-girlfriend looked exactly like a koala. There weren't koalas at that time. He just had an ex-girlfriend who had the shape of what we would now consider a koala. And so God was pissed at his ex-girlfriend. He's like, I'm going to make an animal that looks exactly like you, and I'm going to give it the worst possible life of any animal.
You said having a smooth brain was a good idea. No, I do it to an animal, and all of a sudden I'm the cruel one.
Very, very interesting story. If you have a chance to go see koalas in a zoo, you might want to go do it. I have a feeling those motherfuckers aren't going to be around too much longer, because it seems like if a meteor strikes, if like a small meteor struck, I feel like it would hit a koala on its way down.
You know what? That makes me feel good, because like the elephant is a species that might not be around for a terrible amount long either, but like they're really smart. It'd be like finding out the A student, like the guy who had a lot of talent, was the only one getting screwed over by this mass extinction event. It's good to see that, you know, if like the koalas, the D students of nature, were killing it in this mass extinction event, I'd be pissed as the elephant. But to see everybody but man doing well.
I also think that that's going to be my new curse from now on. Like, if I have to curse someone, like, may you be brought back as a koala.
Yeah, you know, when you think about it, like, that's a pretty shitty curse. Like, you know, like, some people, like, be like, a koala, I'd come back all cuddly and cute, or that doesn't sound as bad. I'm not coming back as a dung beetle or something. You know, flash forward two karma years later where you're eating a pile of koala poo, wondering why.
Why does it hurt so bad when I pee all the time? All right, on to article number two. Are electric cars really better for the planet?
Are they, too, giving koalas chlamydia? Is it just Elon Musk just takes a sabbatical to Australia every year?
So, obviously, electric cars don't take gasoline, but that doesn't necessarily mean they are totally clean. Now, warning, what we are about to talk about, the whole electric car versus gas car comparison, these comparisons that you will see online, oftentimes seeming to come from reputable sources, are oftentimes not real comparisons. They're things that are basically done by subsidiaries of BP Oil or something like that, and they are bad. There's no real science behind them. They're just there to kind of give the oil companies talking points of, hey, electric isn't always great. Hey, they have to get the lithium for this battery and stuff. Now, there are some legitimate complaints against electric cars, but most of the comparisons you see are not.
Bobby, that can't be true. If those arguments were true, if those studies were false and there was no science behind them, then why would United States senators use those talking points on the floor of the United States Senate, Bobby?
So most of those comparisons you hear are total bullshit. However, the one we're going to talk about comes out of the publications in the National Academy of Sciences, Damien's favorite journal, PNAS. This is actually a legitimate study. Now, the whole question about whether or not they create more greenhouse gases has been answered 1,000 times, and absolutely, without a doubt, electric cars are much lower in greenhouse gas emissions. Total car, you know, beginning, you got to count the manufacturing of the car, that's true. The battery, that's true. You got to count the how you're charging it. All of that is true. That study has been done 1,000 times. This study is a little different. They wanted to look at its health effects on people directly, which has less to do with CO2, though, you know, you could make the bigger picture argument for climate change, and it has more to do with the emission of ozone and particulate matter.
Now, does this count take into account people like what? Like, I mean, what if the batteries, the people who manufacture the batteries had an insanely high cancer rate or something? Could that throw off this number?
I don't know. I mean, no, because that wouldn't be particulate matter or ozone. But I'll tell you, a major carcinogen is gasoline. And so I think the people who are handling the gasoline are probably more likely to get the cancer.
Yeah, that's the problem with oil. It's such a dangerous job working in oil that, you know, very few people survive to be taken by cancer.
So again, we are looking at particulate matter and ozone because that's usually what damages the air around us when we're driving. You'll see these studies a lot too, comparing diesel motors, because diesels tend to be bad when it comes to particulate ozone, but good when it comes to CO2. So again, I want to reiterate, electric cars aren't, they're not carbon neutral and they're not pollution neutral. You have to build the cars, you have to get the metal, you have to process that metal. All of that takes a significant amount of CO2. It puts a significant amount of particulate matter in the air. You have to go and mine the batteries, you have to pull that battery together, you have to build those. Then after you have the entire car and you sell the entire car, you still have to produce the electricity, which if you're here in Southern California, where Damien and I are, a lot of our electricity is produced by wind power and solar power very close to us in the desert, but in many parts of the country, it might be produced by a much dirtier source, which could include, you know, natural gas, it could include gasoline, it could include other fuels, and it could even include something like coal, which is particularly dirty.
How much more harmful to the environment is the creation of a combustible engine versus an electric engine? A combustible, an internal combustion engine, not just an engine that just lights up.
Versus an electric motor.
Okay, there you go.
Well, that's a good question. So you do still have, you know, you're still doing a lot of metal bending and processing and stuff. There's a lot of metal in there that you're forging with in like a hot forge.
Sexy ass forge.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that difference would be all that much. I will say this. So here is one of the things to think. And again, this study is not about carbon footprint. This is about particulate matter. But when we do look at carbon footprint, what we are seeing more and more now with later model Teslas is that Teslas last at least twice as long as an internal combustion car. At least as long. There are now Tesla Model S taxi cabs that have been used down in Brazil since they came out in 2012 that have clocked well over 1 million miles on the odometer. It is very rare for an internal combustion engine to go, incredibly rare for an internal combustion engine to go 1 million miles. A lot of these Teslas are doing it. Now, they'll have to switch out a battery pack, but because battery packs are recycled now, they don't just go into a landfill. In fact, they can recycle all except... Another study came out this week showing that with electric car batteries now, they can recycle all except about like 30 kilos of the battery pack itself. There's not like an overall waste that's that big in them, even when you take the batteries into account. So one thing to think of is, yes, maybe it costs about the same. You could even say maybe it costs a little bit more to produce electric cars in terms of carbon footprint. But if they're lasting twice as long, sometimes three, four times as long, then their carbon footprint overall in terms of manufacture of the thing is one third, one fourth that of an internal combustion engine car.
Are they comparing this to the aforementioned Bogan, who has kept his El Camino running for upwards of 40 years? Or more impressively, the people of Cuba who have kept those 1950s jalopies running?
Yeah, those ones with no catalytic converters that are just polluting like crazy. Absolutely.
All right, but so it looks like advantage electric car everywhere. I mean, but even in the fueling of the car, I mean, even if it was a coal power plant versus shipping oil from whatever country we're importing oil from on a tanker and all that, it still seems like in every facet we've talked about, the electric car is number one.
Well, carbon footprint, that is true, and it depends where you get your gasoline. A lot of people don't realize that the U.S., most of our oil comes from the United States. That was not necessarily the case 12 or 15 years ago, but nowadays, most of our oil is domestic. We do still import oil, but we produce a lot of oil in this country. But you still have to ship it around. It's much easier to transmit electricity than it is gasoline. You know, you can put electricity right into a power line. You do have some line loss, but it's fairly minimal. I think last time I checked, it was like 5% over line loss for your average long-distance electricity transmission. Whereas with oil, you got to get it out of the ground, then you have to get it to a refinery, you have to do the refinery process to make the gasoline out of it, and then you have to ship the gasoline either in pipelines or in trucks to wherever it's going to go to get into your vehicle.
I've seen Mad Max. I know what happens to gasoline, how it's made, how it's transported. I've lived Mad Max. I live Bogans.
But this big review wanted to look at every aspect, and they wanted to see, is there any situation in which actually the particulate matter ejections are more so when you're doing an electric car than with an internal combustion engine? And they actually found some pretty rare but occasional instances where this is true. Again, I want to reiterate for like the 15th time, this has nothing to do with carbon footprint. Carbon footprint is almost always to the benefit of electric cars over internal combustion. This has to do with particulate matter and ozone, which is air quality stuff. And what they found is, if you are driving an electric car that is solely powered by electrical grid that uses coal, specifically older coal plants, then yes, in that rare instance, because gasoline engines are so good today and they put out so little particulate matter, the internal combustion engines that use gasoline as opposed to diesel do not put out a lot of particulate matter or a lot of ozone. Because of that, in that very rare instance, there actually is more particulate matter and more ozone produced when using an electric car rather than a gasoline engine, though you would be pretty hard-pressed to find a place in the United States where that was true. There might be like one or two towns in Pennsylvania or something where that happens. For the most part, this would really only be applicable to parts of places like China, which still use a ton of coal for their electricity production.
What's the Bogan population of China, Bobby, just offhand?
What are you saying? What is the rural hillbilly Australian population of China?
You know what? Let's go step back. I want to take that out because that's a ridiculous question. That's obviously going to be very low. But I mean, in China, Bobby, you're a worldly man. What is, I guess, in America, it's the hillbilly. In Australia, it's the Bogan. I don't know what it is in China. But do you think they just, with a communist regime, they don't put up with that bullshit? Like, no, you're going to school. You're going to fucking learn. We don't have to respect your fucking rights.
They don't allow for hillbillyism in China. They're like, listen, the reason we started this one child policy is so you couldn't fuck your sisters anymore.
Yeah, and all those people picked up and went to Mongolia.
Now, again, even in those cases, your CO2 production is still way lower when you're talking about an electric car. And we have had this conversation when we talked about Dieselgate. If you guys remember when Volkswagen got busted for basically cheating the smog systems, they were putting out much more particulate matter and ozone gas than they were showing on their tests, and they got busted. And my argument was, that sucks they did that. They should definitely get fined. But instead of taking all these, you know, TDI diesels off the road, which is what we did, we should keep those out there. Because yes, it has more particulate matter. Yes, it creates more ozone. Yes, those two things kill more people in the direct vicinity of that car. But it still, those TDIs were way more fuel efficient and used way less carbon. And in the end, climate change is way more of an issue than localized pollution. And frankly, climate change is everybody's problem. It comes out of your tailpipe and it becomes the problem of the entire world, every animal that's in it, etc. If it's just particulate matter and ozone, for the most part, that becomes a problem directly around you for air pollution. So you are hurting yourself and your neighbors when you do that, as opposed to the entire world. And it's like, man, I think we should have kept every one of those Volkswagen TDIs on the road, had a few more people die locally, and, you know, helped improve Earth's climate for the next 100 generations.
Furthermore, and I'm not going to sit here and repeat, I was just listening to an episode of Skeptoid where they recapped that point, that episode, that Dieselgate thing. And the main takeaway is, yes, they broke the law. Yes, they lied. But zero engineers, no engineer from any popular mechanics magazine, any trade, they all agreed with what Volkswagen did, which tells you a lot more. Hey, people in the field said this was the smart thing.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us for Science Faction 550, where you learned all about why God hates koalas and whether or not electric cars are really better for the planet. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week to meet the one and only Paige Wesley for Science Faction 551.
Hello, mate. We provided some pretty ugly stereotypes about bogans today, including the fact that they use koalas as toilet paper. And I want to let you know that's not true. We also use wombats, mate. An occasional wallaby.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.